"Come, my boys," said Captain Vernon. "We have to overtake the Lively Bee before she reaches the Narrows, and it's a long pull." Vernon took the helm, young Tempest the bow oar, and a tough old Salt the oar next to him. It was not until they were seated that Tempest saw the face of the sailor next to him, and at once took a fancy to him. Captain Vernon gave the command in a loud, ringing voice. "Oars down! Give way!" The oars fell into the water with splendid precision, and the boat made a spurt forward. "You will find, Mr. Tempest, that on board the Lively Bee we have such discipline that we move like machines." All the rowers bent to their work, and the captain cheered them with words of praise. At times he'd pretend to be angry. "You lazy lubbers, are you asleep? Come, rouse up, or we'll never reach the Lively Bee." The men did pull with more spirit after every outburst of grumbling or reprimand. Governor's Island was passed, the little boat was saluted by the captain of the Essex, and Vernon felt proud. "Tom Mullen, start us a good rousing chorus, that one you sang when we chased the French." Tempest was surprised, for he had not known that the new sailor was known to the captain, or had sailed with him against the French. The rough old Salt, in a voice which had more of the nature of a foghorn than a human voice, started singing, "Americans, then fly to arms, and learn the way to use 'em. If each man fights to defend his rights, the English can't abuse 'em. Yankee Doodle, mind the tune, Yankee Doodle Dandy, for Britons there's trouble brewin', we'll spank 'em hard and handy." All joined in the chorus, and Tempest looked surprised, for he had all the prejudices of the Navy against the lax discipline of a privateer or merchantman. A gun was sighted at the Belvedere, but the gunner was stricken down as he was in the act of firing. The boy saw it, and with patriotic fervor shouted, "I'll have one shot at the rascals anyway." But he could find no match with which to fire the gun. Not to be daunted, he rushed to the galley, and picking up a live coal in his fingers, he hurried with it, regardless of the intense pain, and placed it on the priming. Instantly the report showed that he had fulfilled his threat, and had fired one shot at the enemy. Boy, that's a tough little kid. His thumb and finger were burned to the bones, but he was happy. And the shot was an effective one. A lieutenant and two marines were killed by it as it tore its way along the deck. The chase continued for another hour, the flagship leading all the others, the Lively Bee watching the chase but taking no part just then. It was only a question of a few hours when the President would overtake the English ship. But just when victory was in sight, a loud explosion startled everybody and directed the attention of the whole fleet to the President. Commodore Rogers had again sighted his heavy gun, which was getting so hot that he almost deemed it unsafe to load. "One more shot," he cried as he applied the match. A cloud of smoke hung over the President as the noise of the report cleared away. In firing that shot, the gun had burst with a terrific report, the flying fragments killing or wounding 16 men. The Commodore was thrown high into the air and fell heavily on the deck, suffering a severe fracture of his leg. Panic set in. Ooh, boy, I bet pain set in, too. Some of the sailors were for hauling down the flag, but they were only raw recruits and were quickly overpowered by the older men. The accident caused a cessation of the firing for a time, and the Belvedere took advantage of it to show her heels. "Captain, I can cripple her next time, I think."
"Do so, at all hazards."
The British was nearing her prey. The privateer could not hold her own under the circumstances. The frigate sailed faster than the Lively Bee, and you got to remember the Lively Bee had lost her main mast in that storm just a few days before. So, with only the smaller sails, no doubt she'd be unable to outrace that British ship. Tempest walked up to Vernon and put out his hand. The captain grasped it. There was meaning in that handshake. Each knew that if the next shot did not strike the Peacock, there was but little chance for the Lively Bee.